I wonder if you've ever thought of being taken hostage. Has that ever been something that you thought that you were at danger of? I know that even living in South America for 12 years, I never thought that I would be taken hostage. I never thought that that would be a problem. And this is exactly how someone who has been taken hostage feels in the first few minutes and hours of being taken hostage. They're in disbelief. They actually don't believe that it's actually happening. Mission agencies all around the world now prepare missionaries as they go into mission work how to survive a hostage situation. It's a very helpful thing. Not to be unaware of what's going on in their surroundings. Now, maybe you've heard of a missionary who has been taken hostage. There's generally lots of stories that we can read on the internet about this. Maybe you know someone who's been taken hostage. And you have to think, well, how terrible would it be to be taken hostage? One of the ways it can happen is not being prepared or alert for being taken. There's a lot of training now that helps you identify risks and then teach you how to walk around town, how to spot whether someone's following you. You can ask Corrine one day. She's done all this training, and people, lots of missionaries walk around Katoomba actually, practicing how to avoid being seen. And so you might like to talk to her, maybe Marlies and Stan though as well. But they teach you how to break your routine, how to walk different ways home, things like that, all so that you're prepared. I was really shocked the other day. I was in a group of people having coffee, and someone in the middle of a group of about 10 of us told us where they would be every Wednesday morning between 8:05 and 8:20. I think I was the only one in shock in that group. But telling someone where you're going to be at precisely the same time every single week actually puts you at more risk of being taken hostage. I know that, so I won't tell you where I'm going to be all the time. I don't want you to be... No, you won't take me hostage, I'm sure. But it puts you at risk, telling people where you're going to be at what time. Now, there are things you can do to avoid being taken hostage, small things to prevent something bad happening. And we can even prepare for when we do get taken hostage, what we can do in that situation to improve our chances of survival. Now, as we come to Colossians chapter 2, we're looking at verses 6 to 23. This is the biggest section of Colossians that we're going to deal with in one sermon. And it's great. But this whole section teaches us how to avoid being taken hostage. This is Hostage Avoidance Training 101. Now, of course, it's not talking about hostage situation with ex-military types and guns coming to take you away. No, this is being taken captive in the spiritual sense. We see that in verse 8. Look at that with me. It says, "See to it that no one takes you captive or hostage through hollow and deceptive philosophy." How do we avoid being taken hostage as spiritual hostages? And I've got three things that will help you avoid being taken captive today. So get your Bibles open to Colossians chapter 2. We'll need a Bible just so that you see what I'm talking about. And there's an outline in the bulletin if you'd like to follow along. That might be helpful too. Now, the first point we have here is stay the course. This is what we see in verses 6 and 7, stay the course. It says, "As you received Christ, continue in him, rooted and built up, strengthened in the faith that you were taught, and being thankful." And those things point us to stay the course. Now, Paul started this book reminding those in Colossae of their faith, of the faith they had in the Lord Jesus. Paul had heard about their faith. He'd heard that the hope of heaven had come to them, and he reminded them of that faith. Now, as we're heading to this part of chapter 2, he says, well, stay the course. Just as you received Christ, stay the course, or perhaps stay in him, or remain in Jesus. So how do we stay the course? Well, here Paul gives a few things in verses 6 to 7. He says, to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith you were taught. It's like we need to go to the gym of Jesus, work on our core strength and stamina so that we're ready to continue following him. Being rooted and established tell us that we are deepening our roots in Jesus. We're growing stronger in Jesus. It's a reminder to continue as you were, to remember the things that you were taught and the reasons why you turned to Christ. But more specifically, remember who Christ is. Remember who Jesus is. Now, if you've been listening over the last number of sermons, you'd see that this is what we've been saying every week since we started. Want to know Jesus more? Well, then go deeper in your knowledge of Jesus. It's about knowing Jesus. And to stay the course and remain in Jesus, well, again, we go back to him. Stay in Christ. Teach yourself who Jesus is. And when you think you know a little more about Jesus, well, maybe then go back to him and learn some more. I remember someone telling me recently that they love to read a gospel every year because you can never get enough knowledge of Jesus. And I think that's right, isn't it? There's still more to learn. There's still more to know. We don't want to lose sight of why we turn to Jesus. To remain in Jesus is about knowing him and growing in Jesus. And what we're hearing here is a question. Want to avoid being taken captive? Well, stay the course and go to Jesus. Go to Jesus. Remember how you came to him. Remember what he's done for you. Remember what you were taught of him. And be strengthened in all of that. Now, many of you have been to Bobbin Head. Maybe you won't believe it. And on a sunny day, it looks amazing. But maybe you have never been there when it's foggy. But Bobbin Head can be a very dangerous place in the fog. Evie and I went kayaking this week. There's a photo of us up there, and it was very foggy. This is Evie and I as we set off, and then you see the next photo is a picture of the front of my kayak looking forward. So you can just see the side there. And then the next one, this is on the way back, and you probably can't see it, but I've got some photos in my office. I'll have them out on the morning tea table. But you can actually, there's bubbles in front of our kayaks, and that's the bubbles that we left going, and you can see the bubbles as you go back. It can be dangerous if you're unfamiliar with this area. Now, as we were paddling, I'm quite familiar with the area, and so I was teaching Evie what to do when it was foggy. And as we were going along, I kept pointing things out to her. This is the first bay that we're going to pass. Remember this point, remember that point. See the boat just off in the distance? Oh, yeah, okay. And as we kept going, we turned around, and then I'd start saying, oh, here's that four-knot marker that I set. So we should be expecting another bay soon. We need to stay to the left. We need to stay close to the shore. Now, I did that with Evie to help her learn what to do in the fog because I remember a little while ago waiting on the shore at Bobbin Head, there were a few guys waiting for a friend of theirs who had gone out on a particularly foggy morning, and he was about 2 hours late. It was really hard to see where you were going, and he had tried to switch sides of the river. He tried to turn around to go to the other side, and in the process managed to do a full loop and kept going out towards Pittwater. So he was very lost and came in about 2 hours late. When you're kayaking in heavy fog, you need to stay the course. You need to stick to the sides where you can see and remember what you're passing, remember what you know. Stick to what you know, and you need to stay the course. And I think for us, who people who love the Lord Jesus, for us to stay the course, for us to avoid being taken hostage, well, remain in Jesus. Go back to Jesus. That's how we avoid being taken hostage. It's about growing in our understanding of who Jesus is. And when we're confronted by people who think differently, well, we're ready. We won't be taken hostage by them. Now, people are taken hostage by other religions all the time, aren't they? Maybe you know someone who's been taken in by some other religion. See, when it comes to Jesus, we believe that Jesus is God in flesh. He is one with the Father and the Spirit. We believe in the Trinity and we remind ourselves of those truths. But there are people who will try and tell you that and deny that Jesus is God. They will deny his deity. They say that Jesus was created by an angel. And if Jesus is created by an angel, then he's not God. He's a creature. And if you're not clear on this, well, maybe you'll be taken hostage by someone else. So we need to be clear, don't we? When it comes to celebrating the Sabbath, some people will tell you that you must celebrate the Sabbath on a Saturday, that Sunday is wrong. They'll tell you Old Testament laws need to be adhered to. And if you don't, well, you aren't really a follower of Jesus. That's another way to be taken hostage. And we need to know why we don't celebrate on the Saturday. We need to know why that Sabbath day changed. And we need to know why we don't adhere to the Old Testament laws like some demand of us today. Because as we're challenged by people who believe this, we may be taken hostage. See, this letter is to a church who have been tempted to leave Jesus behind. We're not 100% sure exactly what that is. Maybe they thought there was something greater than knowing Christ. Maybe they wanted to see if something else would work better than Christ. But we're reminded here, stay the course. Stay looking to Jesus. Stay trusting Jesus. Remind yourself of the faith you have in Jesus. Remind yourself of the things you've been taught over the years about Jesus, so that you aren't taken hostage by things that take you away from Jesus. But return to the source and stay the course. Knowing, growing, and reminding yourself of Jesus will help you stay the course. Now, that's our first point. Stay the course. The second point we come to is to remember whose you are. Again, we're asking the question, well, how do I avoid being taken hostage? And this time we're told, well, remember whose you are. And look at verse 8. We see it there. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world, rather than on Christ. Can you see the comparison in the verse here? Don't be taken captive or hostage by hollow and deceptive philosophy. This is human tradition. These things are from man. Rather, be captive by Christ. And here we see the word being taken captive or hostage can be positively used when referring to Christ, when referring to Jesus. Be taken in by Jesus. In other words, remember whose you are. Now keep looking at your Bibles with me. What does it say in verse 9? It says, in Christ all the fullness of deity lives in him. Jesus is God in flesh. This is incredible news. It's amazing news. God has come down to save us from our sin, and here he is. And in verse 10, Paul says that all believers are given fullness in Christ. Paul's combating the desire of those in Colossae to turn to other things for fullness. The Gnostics said it was knowledge. There's talk of them seeking other spiritual realities. But Paul says that the fullness of Christ is in you. In other words, there's no need to go elsewhere. There's no need for extracurricular spiritual experiences because the fullness of Christ is yours already. You already have it. It may mean fullness of life here. It may mean that we are full of the Holy Spirit, and I think both are true. And the message is this, don't be taken hostage by other things, but remember whose you are. Remember whose you are. Verse 11 and 12, Paul uses the argument of circumcision, something the Jewish believers would have been familiar with. And Paul says that they were circumcised with a circumcision done by Jesus. He speaks there of being baptized and raised with Jesus, where the old sinful nature has been put off because now you belong to someone new. You belong to Christ. That's what Jesus did for those who follow him. That's why I keep reminding all of us here that the best time to turn to Christ is today. See, if you're not following Jesus, then maybe today is a day that you can consider giving yourself over to him, because as we do that, we are joined to Christ, and it means that we too will die and rise with him. And Paul, in verses 13 to 15, explains that in more detail. He says, "You were dead, but now in Christ you have been made alive. He forgave your sins, and Jesus did this for you as he died on the cross for all your sins. All spiritual powers that held you in death have been overcome, and Jesus conquered them all, and now as followers of Jesus, you belong to him." Now, when my kids introduce me to one of their friends, they say, "Oh, this is my dad, my dad, my dad." See, I belong to them. I'm their dad. They're the only ones who can call me that, and I belong to them. And Paul is saying that if you trust in the Lord Jesus, well, then you too belong to Jesus. So remember whose you are. Remember you belong to Jesus. Now, I grew up with the greatest of all catechisms, the Heidelberg Catechism. I shouldn't say that, should I? But it's the one I know and love. And what we're talking about is here is the answer to question one. And you might like to look this up later and refer to it. Now, how would you respond to this question in the Heidelberg Catechism? It says, "What is your only comfort in life and in death?" What is your only comfort in life and in death? Well, let me give you the answer. The answer is that I am not my own, but belong body and soul, in life and in death, to my faithful Saviour, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood. And there is not a hair on my head, he has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood, and he has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. See, because I belong to him, Christ, by his Holy Spirit, assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready to live from now on to live for him. See, that's my only comfort in life and in death, to know that I belong to Jesus, that I am his. And I need this reminder. I need this reminder when I'm at risk of being taken hostage. I need to remind myself again and again that Jesus is the answer, that I'm fully known, fully loved, because of Jesus' work for me. How do you avoid being taken hostage? Well, remember whose you are. Remember you belong to Jesus. Well, that's our second point. Remember whose you are. And then we're going into our third point. And at this point, to avoid being taken hostage is to remember whose you're not. In verses 16 to 19, we see that Paul reminds them not to consider. And twice Paul says here, do not let anyone. You can see it in verse 16 and 18. Do not let anyone. And in verse 16, Paul tells them not to be taken hostage by what they eat or drink or particular festivals that they should or shouldn't celebrate. And that doesn't use the word captive here, but uses the word judge. Again, it's a positive spin on being taken captive. But here it's used by letting someone else judge you and finding you guilty of wrongdoing. Paul says, don't let them judge you by these things. And then as you look at verse 17, another reminder that human rituals and festivals are a shadow of the reality. What we see here is Paul referring to the Old Testament, saying that the Old Testament rules and regulations that people are saying they should adhere to really all pointed to Jesus. But the reality, well, that's Jesus. Stop letting them judge you by a shadow, by standards of the Old Testament. So remember whose you're not. You're not bound to the shadow, but you belong to Christ, the reality. And verse 18 and 19, we get another lot of whose you're not. And this time it's those with false humility. Now, some were obviously saying that they were more spiritual than others. But we get the reminder, don't be taken in by them. Look at all the negative ideas here. Puffed up, unspiritual, idle, all of them pointing to a fake Christian. And we know this type of person is fake because Paul says so in verse 19. He's lost connection with the head. In other words, he doesn't belong to Jesus. We've seen this a bit lately, but this is about the mystery of Christ in you, where when you belong to Jesus, you are connected to Jesus, and then Jesus becomes the head of the church, which is the body. And if you're following Jesus, well, you are part of that body of which Christ is the head. So remember whose you're not. You are joined at the head to Jesus, or joined in the body with Jesus. And verses 20 to 22, we see the final example of whose you're not. It says there in verse 20, since you died with Christ to the basic principles of the world, why, as though you still belong to it, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. They are all destined to perish with use because they are based on human commands and teachings. It seems that they were being taken in by human rules and they were given priority over knowing Christ. And Paul says in verse 22, they have the appearance of wisdom, but they do nothing to bring restraint. It's like they're connected to the wrong source. It's like a PowerPoint or an Ethernet cable that's connected to a PowerPoint, a bit like this. It's the wrong source. It's not going to fit. Now, we're told a few things here. He says that they have died with Christ, not to lose connection with Christ. It's like he's saying, remember whose you are and remember whose you're not. Don't be judged by festivals and food and rules and regulations. They're no good for restraint. They have the appearance of serving a purpose, but actually they do that. People push you to rules and regulations. These people are caught up in our behaviour. And often people who are trying to get you to, they're sometimes trying to get you to climb a ladder to God when actually God has already come down the ladder to us. And this is Paul's point. Jesus has come down the ladder. He's done everything for you. Don't forget whose you are. Stop giving in to whose you're not. As a follower of Jesus, you don't belong to the rules and regulations, but you belong to Jesus. And these are dangerous lies, aren't they? We hear people tell us what we need to do in order to be the righteous people of that Jesus wants us to be. Some people go down the line of legalism, telling us what we can and can't do. Some people go down the line of mysticism, the road of contemplation, and we need to empty our minds of all good things. And some even go down the line of asceticism, which is self-denial. Self-denial for the sake of being self-righteous. But Paul says, no, we have the fullness in Christ. Fullness of Christ. These things, these other things are a shadow of the reality. But the reality is Christ. Paul uses a great example of a headless body in verse 19. Filling your life with rules and regulations is like a body without a head. Now, I grew up on some property out at Kenthurst, and every time a chicken's head was taken off, yes, it would run around for a little while, but it would always stop. If the body is disconnected from the head, it will eventually stop. The advanced security training that missionaries have to attend to prepare them for dealing with risky situations prepares them for whatever country they may go to. It prepares them to realize that if they're in a real hostage situation and how to get over that stage of disbelief. And as we think about staying the course for Jesus, we need to be ready so that things don't take us hostage. And what we should understand from this passage is that to be well prepared is to know Christ. To remember that you belong to him, both body and soul, in life and in death, you belong to Jesus. In the title for this series, in that image in your bulletin, it says exactly what this message is all about. It's right there on the top of the outline. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Don't add to Jesus, because he is enough. Your whole life is a response to his work for you, and as a result, we spend our whole life wanting to know him more. And that's the answer, isn't it? How do we avoid being taken hostage? To know Jesus, to know whose you are, and to know Jesus more. As we go out this week and remember that we are in Jesus, may you continue to look to Jesus, because he is the answer. Maybe you want to read a gospel again. It's not the rules and regulations and self-help examples that are going to help us, but it's knowing Jesus, loving Jesus, and hearing what Jesus has done for you. That's how we are going to avoid being taken hostage, to know Jesus. Well, let's pray. Father God, we pray that you help us to fix our eyes on you. Help us to know that growing in our knowledge of you prevents us from being taken hostage by worldly wisdom. Lord, we ask that you grow in us a desire to know you more, to rest in who you've made us to be. And we ask all this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.